That's our work. There we go. Put me in the corner. That's right.
Wait,
all
right. Make his screen bigger this way. It doesn't make it color, does it? No.
My screen's
bigger.
Video. But here, this should work for you better. How's that? Kobe, is that good?
Yeah.
Great.
The fire is almost 4 steps.
He is always 4 steps ahead. So let's start. So I wanted to bring two formulations to your attention, not from Jewish sources. So the first is from Aquinas' Summa Theologica. You ever come across this? He has a very nice formulation about stucca charity as a right of the poor. Here's the formulation. According to the natural order instituted by divine providence, material goods are provided for the satisfaction of human needs. So why are there material goods in the world in the first place? To help, like, to satisfy human needs. Why is there parnasa? To be mefarnes people. Therefore, the division and appropriation of property, which proceeds from human law, must not hinder the satisfaction of man's necessity from such goods. Meaning, if Hashem created the world with resources to provide for people, then humans can create property in a way that's going to interfere with those goods and resources actually satisfying the needs of people. You guys see that? Equally, whatever a man, bear this formulation in mind, because we're going to see, some of it mirrors formulations we've already seen, and some of it's going to mirror formulations we're going to see. Equally, whatever a man has in superabundance is owed of natural right to the poor for their sustenance. And a great formulation. So notice this really captures the idea of like the ketzos, bereshiba nechasim, or the idea of mamon aniyim, where the property right is automatically transferred. Everybody see that? It belongs of natural right to the poor, meaning what I have in superabundance. It's also found in Gration. The bread which you withhold belongs, so notice that formulation, belongs to the hungry. The clothing you shut away belongs to the naked. The money you bury in the earth is the redemption and freedom of the penniless. So that's just like a nice formulation that goes all the way back to the Middle Ages of Aquinas about tzedakah being an automatic transfer of the property right. Benji, you have a comment on this or? No? Fine. And then you have, if you don't like Aquinas, then you have Locke here in the first treatise of government. The famous part of Locke is used as second treatise. That's where you have all the stuff about, you know, majority and when you could undermine governments. Chapter 5 is a discussion on property. But in the first treatise in section 42, Locke says, as justice gives every man a title to the product of his honest industry and to the fair acquisitions of his ancestors. So notice it's like a kishem, right? In the same way that you have a right to the stuff you make from working and to the stuff you inherit from your parents. So charity gives every man a title to do so much out of another's plenty as will keep him from extreme want. So there's this notion of tzedakah, which gives you title. What does title mean? Well,
it's like a shiva.
Yeah, a shiva or bailus even, right? It gives you a title, like think of the Machane Ephraim, it's Chos Tvisa, and exactly as Benji saying the Ketzos about it's already Mamon Aniyim, to do so much out of another's plenty as will keep him from extreme want. So he puts a cap on how much you have a right to take, but notice he thinks it's already yours. You don't need a mice and a sina. You agree with that? Where he has no means to subsist otherwise. Of course, if you have means otherwise, then you have no right to take from somebody else. But this formulation, notice the kishem, as justice gives you an entitlement to what you earn, so too an ani, just to support himself, has the right to the excess of another man's plenty. So these are two formulations on the Western side that capture this idea of staka as the right of the poor, and even more than that, the transfer of vitalis automatically, the mamananiyam, gazalaniyam theory. Krishna? Nice, right? Good formulations. Sorry? Say.
I was thinking about, this is like a very classic like thought experiment in political philosophy, like a poor person has to steal bread to survive, like the whole philosophy. Like clearly shouldn't just die. But some might say, oh, this young elephant is stealing so bad. But if like a way to get around all that, say, it's not like not stealing bread, he's claiming his bread.
Yeah, that's exactly what Locke and Aquinas are saying. Right, the necessity, the idea of necessity is that it's not wrongful to take what's yours by necessity, what you need for your necessity. Yeah. And that's this idea that the property right is already transferred. Good. Kobe, like it? No? I mean, I don't have a strong opinion. You don't have to like the view, but it's a nice view, no, even if you don't like it.
Okay.
No?
It's like what? I was like, yeah, it's a nice view.
You think he's wrong?
I don't know.
You could live a pyre of life for the rest of your life. It's like, oh, maybe he's right, maybe he's wrong.
Yeah,
well,
doesn't bother me too much. Yeah.
The poor people don't bother you? I think it's hard to get excited over the onion. That's what you're saying.
Could we like the formula you're showing up on a more circumvented, a larger, a longer framework?
Oh,
here, it's
just right, Aquinas right. And Locke, right?
Philosophical thought. That's
right. Let's see, Ned. Ned's probably excited by these formulations. Ned?
Sure.
What?
Sure.
Sure. All right. So now let's move to related topics, starting with Basra Daf Yudam Aleph. And what I want to do now, or the reason why I'm discussing this briefly, is because we spent a lot of time focusing on the sad that Kobe's not excited about, the idea of the needs of the aniyim, the right of the aniyim, mamon aniyim. I just want to say a little bit about the other side, the idea that tzedakah is not about the aniyim at all, the tzad that I know Ned doesn't like. Correct, Ned?
Right.
Meaning you don't like this side.
Yeah.
Good. So I just want to say a little bit about it to, A, just show some of the sources that seem to push in the opposite direction, that they think of tzedakah in terms of the obligation or the zchuyos of the ashir. But I don't think that's a problem for the view that I was developing until now, because you could always say there are two dinim in tzedakah, which is totally kosher, right? There to be two dinim. So let's take a closer look at this. We have the Gemara in Bava Basra Yudam Aleph. Josh, why don't you take us through? Hire Meir Omer.
Right, if Hashem loves the aniyim, let him take care of them.
Right. So Amrlo Kadeshi Tzulim what is it? The reason that they're poor people is that we have the opportunity to get mitzvah points and we can save ourselves from going again.
Okay. I'm going to take issue with one thing you said there. Pretty much I like what you said, except for one thing. So, yes, if God loves aniyim, why doesn't he take care of them? And the answer is what?
To give us the opportunity to get mitzvah points somehow, and by giving them money, we'll save ourselves from having to go to Gehenna.
Yeah, so to give us the opportunity to save ourselves from going to Gehenna. Let me just say the one thing I want to take issue with is you said the reason why there are poor people is so that we could be nitzal midina shel Gehenna. Yes?
Right.
Do you agree? Do you stand by that formulation?
The reason why poor people. Or, I mean, there are poor people that, no, I guess there are poor people because of natural order
yeah,
of law.
Yeah.
And it's the reason that God isn't breaking them under the law. Is that?
Yeah, the natural order or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I just want to talk, maybe these two formulations are not distinguishable. Maybe that's what Ned's going to object to in a second. Sounds like, okay, that is what Ned's going to object to in a second. So we'll take your objection 1 second. But I just want to point out, at least before Ned's objection, it seems that we could distinguish between why are there aniyim versus the question of why doesn't Hashem be mefarnes them? Why does he delegate it to Bnei Adam to be mefarnes aniyim? I take it the difference between those formulations is you could say, like evil, there are poor people because of natural facts about the world. It's a feature of Bechira. It's a feature of the way the world is, you know, set up, that some people are going to be rich and some people are going to be poor. Now, the question is, should Hashem provide for them or should Bnei Adam provide for them? Should Hashem miraculously intervene in the natural order to give them food? Maybe should give them man every morning? Or should he task the other members of society to care for them? So if you read the Gemara simply answering the question about why are we obligated to provide for them, then I think the Gemara is not as radical as it first seems. Someone has to provide for them. Hashem could have provided for them, but why not delegate his chus to Bnei Adam? Right? We think it's a good thing to do God's work in the world. But just like the other debate with Rabbi Akiva about Bris Milah. So are you going to say Zakaria? No. Right? It's like very halachic man, the last section of the book about participating with God and the perfection of creation. So Hashem is giving us his chus. Everybody agree with me on that reading? Now, Josh's first reading was saying something a little different. What was it saying, Josh?
That the whole reason that there even exists a concept of a poor person in the first place is just for us.
Oh, that the reason why there are poor people is so that we could have zechuyos. That's a very different type of claim. Then you're saying that, oh, those people are suffering so that we could get moral mabba. And Ned's going to tell us why he thinks that's not a plausible distinction, Ned.
Yeah, in the mashal, I think if we take the mashal seriously, then it's Hashem placing the person in the Beit Asurin. So it's an active placement of the ani.
Let's see. So you're getting to the next part already. But you agree conceptually. Okay, so you agree conceptually that these two claims are distinguishable. Yes?
Yes.
Ned?
Yes.
You just want to be medayik. Let me say, from the question is mipnei ma eno mefarnesan, which assumes that antecedently there are aniyim in the natural world. And the question is, who's going to support them? Now, Ned's saying, the mashal, shakos avachavsha besa asurim, implies what?
An active, divine, I don't know, action, that placing the analog of the ani into the prison.
Well, let me say this. I still think that's not a good objection because chavsho bevesa asurim is not that the father or the adon puts the guy in jail so that other people could support him. There are independent reasons for putting the guy in the bevesa asurim. And then the question is, now that he's in the bevesa asurim, who's going to provide for him? Is it a good thing or a bad thing to intervene with the melech's plan? To interfere with it. You see that, Ned? So I think actually the mashal reflects that it's not an explanation for why there are aniyim in the first place. Right? We're not saying why are people poor so that the rich people can get zechuyos off their back. Ned, you agree with that, right?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Excellent. But at a minimum, we could say this Gemara shows us what, Josh?
That there is a sad tzedakah, which is about us getting
zechuyos. Exactly, that at least one side or one important dimension of tzedakah is the zechuyos for the yashirim or the mefarnesin, that there needs some medina shel gehenna. Good? Okay. Now, I want to draw your attention to two formulations in the Maharal Miprag, in his Nesivos Tzedakah. Commenting on this Gemara, he cites Babasa Daf Yud. That's right, guys, we're on Babasa Daf Yud.
Halfway there.
We're getting there. Halfway to Daf Chav.
Yeah, that's where we got there.
Yeah, so it's not bad, right? I think it's respectable. And he says here, two Ha'aros. So, Kobe, you want to read this for us? Yeah, meaning that being poor is clearly punishment for sin. That was Tornus Ruffus's presupposition. Excellent. The Shoel thinks that Anim are being punished and you shouldn't interfere with a divine punishment. And what does Rabbi Akiva's response assume? Yechayai bani umzoni, meaning your how long you live and how many children you have and how much mizonos you got. Luck, let's just say luck for now, right? No, you don't want to say luck?
I don't know.
Well, what do you want it to mean?
Well, I guess it means luck, but you have to explain what you mean by luck.
Why? Whatever luck means, that's what this means. If luck is determined by the astrological constellations, then no, matov manayim, right? So the debate then between Rabbi Akiva and Tornus Ruffus is very deep. What are they disagreeing about?
Why people are poor.
Tornus Ruffus thinks that people are poor because Hashem is punishing them. Hashem is punishing them. It's wrong to interfere with this plan. And Rabbi Akiva's response is that what? People are poor. Why?
Random chance.
Yeah. Bad luck, bad fortune. Is fortune better?
If you're going to say
Well, there's some words we can't put there. We can't put punishment for mazel. Right, so somewhere in the ballpark of fortune, luck. No?
Yeah.
Okay. And so Akiva's point is that given that there's nothing wrong with the Aniyim, there's no reason to not support them on our own. Okay. But then he says this, Filu and Maya.
Hashem is Barak. And even if it is a punishment, so like the point is still that, like God decided that God is going to provide the grace of other people.
Yeah, but Domelo. That's right. Right. So he's just saying that Machlokas in Tornus Ruffus and Rabbi Akiva seems to be very deep about this question of why are there poor people? And he has two deos, whether we think that people are poor because they're being punished. Obviously, on the first side, there's nothing wrong with intervening. On the second side, he has a chiddush that even if Hashem is punishing them, nevertheless, our purpose as humans is to try to relieve their suffering, right? But all this is to explain just that whatever the reasons for their being poor, there's some zchus in giving us the capacity to heal them. Now, the question is, what's that zchus to relieve their suffering? What's that zchus? So you could think of this. Josh was probably thinking about it in these terms. What terms are you thinking of it in terms of, Josh?
Well, I mean, I can think of it in a couple of
times.
Like, I think the most question is just the fact that you're doing a mitzvah.
Yeah, it's an opportunity for a mitzvah, correct?
Yeah.
Great. Now, you find in the Rishonim, I think, a different perspective on this. Specifically what? And here you get all the virtue ethics Rishonim. Benji, you know?
It makes you a better person.
Ah. Excellent.
Is that different than like doing mitzvah?
What?
Is that different than like doing mitzvah?
So it depends what you think the time and mitzvahs are in general. But if you think that there's independent schar, like nitzel medina shel gehenim is some theological salvation, then it's not just that, oh, this helps you improve your midos.
So the mitzvah points thing is actually a good point.
I mean, of course. Correct. It's
I'm just looking for phrases like mitzvah points.
Correct. The mitzvah point thing is one way of putting it. Nitzel and medina shel gehenim. If you have more zchuyos than averos, then you nitzel medina shel gehenim. The chinuch in Mitzvah Samech Vav, where he talks about shorish mitzvah staka, what does he say? A volunteer to take us through the chinuch. Shmuel, you want to take us through the chinuch?
I'm up there, yeah.
Give it a shot. Shorash HaMitzvah. What does that mean?
Wants to give a chance to learn and to gain from Midas Chesed
Rachamim. Yeah, but what does that mean? He wants us to become habituated with the Mida, with the virtue, with the disposition of being generous and being merciful, right? Why? Because that's a good Mida to have. Kihi.
He
does Mishubachas. Mishubachas. It's a praiseworthy character trait to have. And then it says Mitoch Hechsher. Yeah, once you have positive virtues, that's going to help you achieve virtue in other ways, correct? Okay, so this is not about mitzvah points at all. It's really about cultivating the right dispositions. And he says that's shot in the disagreement between Rabbi Akiva and Tornes Rochos. I mean, this is why Hashem created Aniyim. Here's what he argues. The imlav mitzad shoresh zeh halo hu baruch hu yaspik lani de machzoro zuloseinu. What does that mean?
If it weren't for all these reasons, then God wouldn't necessarily made
people. Or he would be the one supplying them with their needs. So it's only to give us the opportunity to cultivate these virtues that Hashem intentionally doesn't supply them with their needs, and instead he made us his agents to give tzedakah so that we could get these virtues along the way. Notice again, I don't think he's saying that's why they were made poor. He's just saying, why does Hashem not nefarnes them so that we could also get these virtues along the way? Okay? Good? Josh?
I'm not sure how, and this is just like a death match up, but like, I mean, there are poor people in the world that aren't getting enough help for anything. It does kind of seem like it's Hashem putting the poor people in a situation where if you don't help them, now they are suffering.
Right. So, it seems like you're saying it's not enough of an explanation.
Yeah.
To say that it's just to give us the chuyos. Because like, why should they suffer for our stuff?
Right.
Unless you're saying there's still some objective wrongfulness going on. If Hashem could have taken care of them. It's a weird trade-off.
Yeah, I don't know.
Is that your point?
Yeah.
Yeah. Benji?
Yeah, I don't mean to be all like wishy-washy about it, but can't we say that like Shemayim, Shemayim, Hashem, Barak, the top of Me'adam, like it's important people's world and it's people's problems, so it's on the people to fix people's problems.
Yeah, I think that's like the natural order argument, meaning it's not about God making people poor. He sets up the world a certain way. A feature of the way the world is that some people are poor, and then it becomes the responsibility of Bnei Adam.
Right, like the mon falling on anyone who makes below, the poverty line, doorstep every day. It's like that's almost laughable.
That Hashem's going to furnish them in that way. You're saying?
Yeah, meaning it's like that's not like it's a different roles.
Right. You're saying it's theological. There are theological presuppositions here about Hashem intervening in nature all the time.
Right.
You're saying Rabbi Kiva should have answered, that's of ours, not on living in Adam.
Right.
Right. That's just a feature of the way the world is.
Right. The reason why we have to provide for a name is not because God wants us to give us these opportunities. Of course.
Right. I agree. If I was Rabbi Kiva and I was in this debate, I would have given you the answer. Ours, not on living in Adam. It's like the problem of evil also. Why is there evil in the world? It's just kind of, this is the world, the way the world is set up. And it's not obvious that there's a better way to set up the world with the Bechira. Right? Something will have to go if you want to get rid of all the badness. Same with poverty. Yeah, I'm a Benji. You want to see something even crazier? Sorry, you want something crazier? Yeah? Then we'll take Ned's hand. What?
So let's get wild.
Yeah, look at this. Otam Afer. Louder, louder, louder.
Alibri Adam, we told the Feta. So we want money to be supported by people because of the Ani's sin.
Right. Notice he's already taking a stand on that issue in the Maral about whether we assume that all Aniyim are sinning and therefore they're being punished. Gone.
Today, she the Macho Vishne Panis, that he'll be rebuked from the pain into aspects. The Kabbalah Sabotras, May Asher Kigilo. It would seem to be from arrangement receiving from someone and the just the limitation of his food.
Yeah, this is really wild for a few reasons, but here.
Yeah, there's like, you shouldn't, it's a team to embarrass something.
Right.
It's like the whole special open crime, like the follow people like, yeah, it's a mitzvah to be unique, being cruel to birds.
Right.
Because then like some like cosmic machinery happens.
Yeah. And this is, it's remarkable, right?
Yeah.
I would have thought, especially from Dina, we'll see later on, there's so many kvedas, not from the vasa, the ani.
Yeah.
In terms of the how you're supposed to give tzedakah, how much you're supposed to give. And here the Fina says, oh, like here's another reason Hashem wants them in vasa, the ani, and they're more disgraced by having to receive from other people.
Hmm.
Right? Very strong view that he's going in for. Yeah. Which is very difficult because part of the mitzvah tzedakah is to reduce that disgrace, right? Ned, do you have a hand on this? And then we'll take Josh.
Yeah, I'm just logically, if the reason why Hashem sort of doesn't give the Aniyim tzedakah is because he wants us to, I don't know, develop a proper disposition. So in that case, why not just give us the proper disposition?
Oh, your next question, why doesn't Hashem just give us the proper dispositions? That's a good question, but it's too abstract for the stuff.
It's more of a, yeah.
Now you're getting into even deeper questions than the questions of the stuff, right, Ned?
It's all related.
Well, yeah, you're basically raising a good challenge against the Rambam, Chinuch, all the virtue ethics we've shown him. We see the mitzvot as cultivating dispositions. Yeah. Maybe that's a reason to reject the virtue ethics framework, right? To reject the Aristotelian framework for mitzvot. Yeah. Should we start the Twitter hashtag? Reject Aristotelian framework for mitzvot.
Oh my God,
yeah, it'll go nuclear very quickly. Now, so that the Chinuch is a great example of the virtue ethics. Josh, stick your hand, and I'll give the Rambam example, which Romy actually put on the WhatsApp earlier. But go ahead, Josh.
I was going to offer a possible defense. Maybe he's not actually saying that there's a kiyum to embarrass them as much as we can in giving tzedakah.
No, that's for sure. I don't think he's saying that, right?
No, I mean, he's saying that it's embarrassing, even with all the anonymity that we're supposed to give tzedakah,
right,
as compared to God, Josh, but I feel it's more of a...
Right.
Like, you know...
That's fair. I mean, for sure he's saying that, but it's striking that the mitzvah is to minimize it. What you're saying is that the minimizing the busha is consistent with Hashem setting it up this way so that there's a dimension of busha.
Hey.
Right? You know, this is like the people quote Rav Schechter as saying things like a woman who's giving birth shouldn't get an epidural because it's like bad sev til bibanim. It's like the hakim and the curse of Chava, that you should suffer in childbirth, you should have pain in childbirth. And then they can say, no, what do you mean? Like, it's painful, but you can still do as much as you can to reduce the pain. Same here, right? You could say, Hashem set it up so that there's tzar for the aniyim, but that's consistent with the mitzvah being to reduce the pain as much as possible. Yeah. Okay, I want to give another example. So I think, just to summarize, I think this Gemara in Babata Daviyot, Rav Akiva and Turnus Rafis, as we've been alluding to throughout the Limud, that's a very strong statement of the schus for the giver perspective of tzedakah. In the incorrect reading of the Gemara, it even makes it sound as if the reason why there are poor people is so that the rich people could have zechuyos. Correct? I don't think that's the right reading of the Gemara for the aforementioned reasons, right? The reason why there are poor people is just a natural fact of the world. And the question is, who should alleviate their poverty? Okay, so now I want to move to a great example of the virtue ethics we've shown him. A very shver Rambam in Avos, Gimel Tesvav, Anybody get a chance to prepare this Rambam and Avos? Shmuel, did you get a chance to see this one? Josh, did you get a chance to see it?
I don't think
so. Kobe, did you get a chance to see it? Skaria?
A few years ago.
A few years ago, that counts. So, so you know that's about foreknowledge, divine foreknowledge and free will. So we're in heady Mishnah over here. Uvetov olam nidon says that Hashem is rachmanos on us. And this is the last name of Rabbi Akiva in the Mishnah here. Skaria?
Hakol lefi rov hamasa.
Hakol lefi rov hamasa. What does that mean?
Numerousness.
Yeah. You want to maximize actions, maximize deeds, right? What does that mean? Hakol lefi rov hamasa. This reminds me of those guys who, you know, go around making as many brachos. You drink more water, you can make a shakol, and right, like me brachos kol yom. So I take a sip now, and then I'll make over and flush, and I'll take another sip, make another shakol. So what's a kol fi roba maisa? What does it mean? So what does the Rambam say?
Send the line. So after Malmar, greatness of it.
Well, what's not achieved?
The virtues are not achieved.
Oh, the virtues, Shamilos. Notice that. The virtues, the virtuous disposition, the virtuous midos are not achieved except through.
All right. Will be sheer gold on my side. It'll be gold misbar on my side. Not through the great, size of individual deeds, but the quantity of deeds. Zen Shamalos Amnon useful the faithful Maase Hatov Pamanabos, because the virtues are achieved through repeating a good deed many times over.
Yeah. And you can see the Chinuch saying the same thing. Afra Pulos Nimshval Vavos, right? The more actions you do, the better you create the good habit and cultivate the virtue. Uvaze.
Uzen, you saw that whole fire, right? Hello, the Shiyasa and the Maase Echad Gadol. The monster of not just one massive great action. There's other levels who's like, okay, you will not achieve the virtue.
Yeah, you want to acquire the virtue. Notice Lo Yusaka Kenyan. He's clearly talking about acquiring some physical or mental, psychological disposition. Muscle Ma Del Verdoma, anybody here work out? No? Zakaria. Okay, Zakaria. So it's a Shiloh, right? Are you going to do greater weight or more repetitions? That's like the Hakira. And so I'm saying, if you want to build your muscles, better to do more repetitions. Correct? That's literally the way he's thinking, almost like a physical acquisition of the strength of the virtues. Then the Rambam gives tzedakah as an example, as an exemplar.
So muscles there. So the person he'll give to he was fit to receive a 1,000 dinar.
Meaning somebody who needs 1,000 dinar and you give him that amount.
So almost one time. Loads of cycle malas and people to not this the virtue of generosity is one fact. Roshan Tusa Gabish is not even held on in Bell. And someone who is generous 1,000 times would be 1,000 dinars.
Right, so the thought is you lift one really heavy weight, or you do one bench press of like whatever it is, 200 pounds, that's not going to do as much for you as if you do 200 presses of 10 pounds. That's the Rambam's thought. Kamisha Tusak.
No, Moshe Tusak, when you should stand at Elpama Valentinar, you take cold dinar in hand, outside, give each dinar generously.
Yeah. So do you guys think he's right about that? I mean, he's probably right about it psychologically. If you're trying to reinforce a generous disposition, so go around, give a dollar every time you see an ani. Writing out a check once doesn't really help you cultivate that disposition, even though it's a great, generous deed, right?
He's also not saying it's on the, mitzvah.
He doesn't say, He doesn't say,
cultivating virtues, virtues of both habits.
So far.
If you ask me who did more tzedakah, I'd say equal.
Okay. Well, let's see. Be top, be eating cold dinar man.
So be equal, giving all side of the gifts, give each of them generously. If you say, you can't call the other, my side of the gifts, I'll probably give a would be involved in the act of generosity at that time. You saw Kenyan Tasa, they didn't acquire it strongly. Bazen, Ba'amachas, Ba'av, his over of the Nefesh, his over of the Gedola, makes it total. Rachas, Pastomeza. On the other hand, the guy just had a hungry, spiritual awakening towards this good deed, afterwards he sees.
Yeah. So the Rambam here is clearly talking at the level of, as far as saying, advice for cultivating virtues.
Yeah.
And Zahari is saying, well, he's not yet talking about your key and mitzvah stuff. Now, I just want to point out, this gets back to Ned's point, and maybe Benji's point earlier also, which is, it's really not so clear for somebody who thinks the value of mitzvos lies in terms of cultivating the virtues, that the key in mitzvah is distinct from cultivating the virtues, right? You're assuming that there are two separate chaluyos, right? There's like the goodness it does for yourself and then the objective key in mitzvah component. But that's fine. But then look what the Rambam says in the next sentence, which he did not have to add. And if I was his editor, I would have said, don't commit to this. Right? You're an avos, you're talking about cultivating virtues, stick with that level of analysis. But the Rambam goes further in the next line. What does he say? V'chein.
V'chein the Torah. Ein star mishapata osir v'meyajinar. O nos m'sakal ha'meyajinar shayvei ma'saro. Kamo mishapata asara asirin. O kishin kesra asara anien. Afil asara minar. So I think in parable, if the star or someone would give one captive for 100 dinar, or give sadaqa to Nanimite for 100, that is much less so than when they're giving 10 captives or fills the need on 10 anim, even if each of them only require 10 dinar. Uzet takish, and this shall relate to Uzet hu inyan omro, the remim, if you roll maisa, about lo on the process, based on the, number of deeds, not on the quality.
Yeah. So do you guys see the Rambam's analogy here? Yeah. Now, actually, when I first read this Rambam, and when I read the Rambam second and third and fourth and fifth time, I thought he maybe was saying something very problematic. Right? Meaning it's kind of strange. Why should he think that giving a penny to a million aniyim is better than giving a lot to one aniyim? Correct? And that's how a lot of people quote the Rambam. Now, when Zakaria just read it, actually, the Rambam is saying something a little different. Josh, you have a diak to make?
I was going to say this last paragraph actually seems entirely intuitive and reasonable to me. Meaning, when you save 10 people, you're doing more good for the world than you save others.
Good.
So in each case, he's accomplishing a full.
Correct. People, when they quote this Rambam, they usually say, oh, the Rambam says it's better to go around giving a pruta to 1,000 aniyim than to give 1,000 prutas to one aniyim. Correct? Now, that may be the case in the first part when he's talking about the virtues, because you're exercising your muscles, your virtue muscles. But notice in the second part, he actually switches his language. Right? Suddenly, when he's talking about Torah Schar, which gets to your point, Scaria, the Rambam says, it's if you're choosing between giving mea dinar to fulfill de machsoro one ani, or to give 10 dinarim to be mashlim achisaron avasara aniyim. Better to do the asara aniyim. But notice that in each case, you're actually fulfilling de machsoro ashayasaro. So in one case, you've taken 10 aniyim out of poverty. In one case, you've taken one ani out of poverty. So it's actually ena nimshol doma lamashol, ena nidon doma laraya here. There's a very important disanalogy between his discussion of the virtue part and his discussion of the schar mitzvah part, right? We agree with that? Let's see for a second. Right. Here, it's in the first part, it's like giving a dinar versus giving 1,000 dinar. Right? But in the second case, he's very clear that you're mashlim l'chisaron of asara aniyim.
Yeah. Yeah, I think he's saying, I think these are just two totally separate yonim by Pulafi Robomaisa. That's one of the two benefits of Robomaisa.
The virtue thing.
Which is one simple thing. And it's totally separate.
Yeah.
Positive aspect of Robomaisa is, well, some aspects of the Torah are just about accomplishing a certain result. If you can, you know, be efficient and accomplish more of that result, well, that's better.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I think just Robomaisa has two.
Correct.
I
think you're right. So it sounds like they're actually Tzvei Dinim in the Rambam. It's the virtue thing where it's like the more you do it, the more virtuous you are. But then there's a consequentialist dimension here where you're saying, yeah, for the mitzvah of tzedakah, it's not just about exercising your muscles. There's a dimension here that's actually about satisfying the needs of the aniyim, right? Which the machzorim shel aniyim, sar aniyim, ritva, arach hashulchan, radvaz, maral, all those Rishonim, who are the right space people, I think would agree with the Rambam here. Here you've lifted 10 people out of poverty. Yeah?
It is
consequentialist here. It's false to read this second part of the Rambam as being just about Gudul HaMaisa.
Is there a position I could disagree with this last paragraph? What would that look like?
The standard, I think, the way like
say, oh, there's no difference between giving $100 to one
onion.
That's
right. I was listening. I mentioned. I drove in on like Sunday, and I was listening to Rabbi Ben-Ar Shashirim on Wayu Torah about Staka. One of them mentions Rabbi Ben-Ar, and he quotes his Rambam. He's like, "Oh yeah, it means you should go around giving a pruta to every onion in Yerushalayim. That's greater than giving a check for $1,000." But now, when you read the Rambam carefully, it's not true. The Rambam doesn't say that.
Right? Sorrow is not true. You know?
Correct. Correct. Yeah. So, which means that the Rambam is not just mitzad the mice or the giver. It's actually very
medieval.
I think.
Yeah. I heard secondhand it's how Bhakti is. Bhakti is like, yeah, that's what Rambam would only say this if you're accomplishing some certain sheer of day mocks or like that.
Well, Rambam says it explicitly.
Food for a day.
All right. Rambam says it explicitly. Yeah. Benjamin and Josh. You got to call it the Bach or? Okay.
The second part of the Rambam, it's obviously like based on the needs of the audience. It's like a triage. But then I guess I'm confused about like what the mitzvah is. Is it like they must row is like they're poor in that they can't afford like a bus ticket, so they have to like walk to work every day. But like they could, you know, they're not starving to death. So it's better to like pay for everyone's bus fare so that now.
That
then there's one guy that's starving to death.
Yeah, you're, so you're asking.
We say, oh, he's hopeless.
Yeah.
So better not.
You're asking a question in general about De Masoro, which is how do we triage someone's basic needs versus someone's non-essential?
And specifically, if we say that De Masoro is you know a relatively high standard.
Correct.
Then
like,
how are we letting people like starve to death?
Yeah.
We'll
talk about that. We'll talk when we get into De Maksura, we'll talk about how you triage. Does it really make sense that Sus Serus Lefanot, to take the paradigmatic, is just as much tzedakah as giving somebody food to survive? Of course not. Wrong, I'm going to say, of course not. But I think, but that's a general question about De Maksura. And the Rambam here, I would say, let's assume that they're more or less comparable.
But De Maksura means that you have to, to survive.
Let's assume, let's put it this way. Whatever the day machzoro of one is equivalent to the day machzoro of the other.
Right, but I'm saying if someone's like 100 dinars away from day machzoro, which you're saying is like some level of comfortability, then that means that they must.
Some would say comfort.
What?
Some would say comfort.
When I say comfortability?
Yeah.
That's not a word.
I have no idea.
Some level of comfort, right? Then, like, could Rambam really be saying that, we'd rather get 10 people to that place rather than one?
That's a shailan de machzoro versus basic needs. So, let's assume right now that the LF dinar for the one person's de machzoro is about the same type of quality of the de machzoro of these other guys, right?
Yeah, so meaning if they're not there yet, or if they're so far away that they're.
But they have different needs, right? So let's say one guy needs to money for a wedding. He needs $1,000 for a wedding, and these other guys each need $10 for a bus fare.
let's say the other way. Let's say each guy needs $10 for their wedding. This guy needs $100 for, you know.
Right, but then you just then you're already asking about how do we compare Dame Afsoros, right?
So, but let's say everyone wants like food and a shelter and transportation.
Yeah.
Let's pretend that that's what Dame Afsoros for all three.
Right.
Everyone is junk and has all of them except for transportation, except this one guy has none of it.
He has none of it, meaning he has no food.
He has no food. He has no.
Right, but then that's the machzor or triage question, right?
But isn't that what the Rambam's doing?
No,
they're assuming that the machzor is the same for all.
Correct. I'm assuming that their needs are roughly comparable. Meaning, you have an ani on the street; it'll cost you.
Oh, so the machzor is actually different levels,
right? Well, right, but it's the same type of machzor. Meaning, you have an ani on the street who needs food. You could throw $10 to give him pizza. Or you could pay $1,000 to give food to somebody in Ukraine, because there it's going to be much more expensive to get them food.
Right.
So my point is that you're satisfying the same type of need for both of them. Correct. That's what I'm assuming that I'm getting at here.
That's a very specific situation, you know, where it's like more expensive to fill the same needs.
Right. But I'm saying, because otherwise you have to get into the general question of day machzor. Does it make sense that in Chiyut Tzedakah, you know, somebody's Lexus is just as much a chiyuv tzedakah as somebody's food. Of course not, right? That's not reasonable. The sus shiratz lefanav can't be the same chiyuv tzedakah as the basic needs. Yeah, we'll talk about that when we get there. Ned, good? Yitzi, good? Excellent.
Yeah.
Okay. Yitzi, you have a hand?
No, I agree a lot with the fact that you have to say they're connected because you use the word b'chein, but there is that like critical difference.
Yes. Yeah, the b'chein. So I think it's hard to say the b'chein is that there's like a rough analogy. Two interpretations. Right. Two interpretations about Kol Lefi Rov HaMaisa.
Yeah.
Yeah. A virtue explanation and then a schar based explanation. Are we all good with that reading? It's very meduic in the Rambam. Kobe, like it? Par of like it, or this you love? What?
I do like this book.
Good.
The formulations this year, so from alphapedia.com, which
our very own.
They quote this Rambam as, in English, as, let's see if they agree with this. It is better to give a lot of poor people a little money than to give one poor person a lot of money.
Oh, it's not true. But the Wikipedia formulation is not true.
Well, it's true for the person, right, of course, of the Rambam. Being it's true for the virtue of it.
Right. They should say it from the virtue of it.
Yeah.
Perspective. Correct. They say better in schar or better in terms of virtue ethics?
It's better. It is in the Tzedakah page.
That's right. Okay. Virtue ethics page. Right. Okay, good. Now I want to just drill down on this discussion a little bit about the lot to a little discussion. So you have here the Gemara in Babasa, Daf Tassan and Beis. The Gemara says, "My dechse ba yilbas tzaka kishirion." What's a shirion? Chainmail armor. Excellent. In modern Hebrew, they use it to refer to artillery, or like the armored vehicles. Right. That's the. So just like chain mail armor has what, Benji? Exactly. Perfect. It's interlinking pieces of scales that make... Right, so off stuck up.
Great. It all adds up. So you give them a little bit here and there, it all adds up.
Okay. And Rabbi Hanina has a similar drasha. Like a woven baguette, right? Just like all the different strands of a baguette form one big hole, so too kol pruta pruta and staka. So what's the point of this? So the Maral here in the Sivas Olam writes, commenting on this Gemara, Davar Zemavur. Anybody see this Maral? Here he actually takes a bit of a jab at the Rambam. He says, when it comes to the other mitzvah, there's no obvious way of combining parts of the mitzvah. He gives the example... he just speaks more generally. Kasher Adam Osa Mitzvos Mikol Shar Mitzvos Hina Mitzvah Zos Mitzvah Yichides the Kasher Osa Od Mitzvah Higam Pin Yichides. I don't know, you what's an example? Yeah. You know, each Maisa Mitzvah is independent of the other. Maskim Zecharia. For most mitzvahs, each part is distinct from the other, but tzedakah is different. Ein shtei mitzvahs mitzdarfen lios mitzvah achas gedola. But when it comes to tzedakah, no se nayom pruta lamachar pruta, and Hashem considers it as if one big nesina. So why is the Gemara telling us this? Like, what's the significance of telling us about the combinatorics of tzedakah? Yeah.
It sounds like if it was left at individual pritas, then it sounds like that's a bad thing, like against the first part of the
Ramah. Oh, so look what he says. Yeshua Yerutzim Lomar. Josh, take it away.
So,
this is like a bit of a jab at the Rambam, it seems. Like some people want to say it's better to give a lot of little prutas to a lot of people. And Maral thinks that's wrong. He says the whole point here is to tell us that many little givings have chashivas only in virtue of their capacity to mitzdarif, only in virtue of their ability to combine. So he argues kal v'chomer mitin harbi pamecha. By kal v'chomer that it's better to give a lot once. Now, maybe he didn't have our reading of the Rambam, the second half of the Rambam. But of course, this makes more sense if you focus on how you're boosting the yanif, right? You're focusing on the effect of your nesina on this person. That's more primary to mitzvah tzedakah. The Sefer Chasidim in Siman Samech Aleph has a comment on this tension also. So, Benji, you want to take a Sefer Chasidim?
Sure.
Tov Ladin Lefarnes Efan. It's always good to get advice from Sefer Chasidim. It's a Sefer Chasidim does. Just like dispenses practical advice. It tells you when to drink milk and when not to drink milk.
When should you not drink milk?
Before you travel.
Yeah, that's actually
good advice. I'm saying Sefer Chasidim is dispensing good advice.
You should drink anything before you travel. You have to stop doing that.
Yeah, sure. So again, so he's saying what? Tov Adam Lefarnes Echad im Ein Lo El Lefarnes Nefesh Achas. Tov Misha Yitain Lechamisha Velo Yaspiku. What's his point?
That while it is good to give like provide for one person, if you don't have enough to provide for one whole person, then you should give it to like five different people.
Retry. Sefer Chasidim has a tendency to write things backwards, like Yoda. Tov Adam Lefarnes Echad, Im Ein Lo Elo Lefarnes Nefesh Achas, Tov Mishayi, Tov Mishayi.
Yeah. It's better to just give it to one person than to give to five people.
Exactly. If you only have enough money to actually support one person, better to use it to lift that guy out of poverty or to support him than to disperse it amongst five people below Yaspiku in a manner that's not going to actually be adequate for them. So again, this is the exact opposite of at least the first part of the Rambam. I think it's actually consistent with the second half of the Rambam, the way we were reading it. But it's this idea, again, I think it actually speaks to the consequentialist dimension of tzedakah, about its impact on the Ani. Better to knock him out of poverty than to just exercise your tzedakah muscles. Ask him, Josh?
I feel like you can also argue from the virtue ethics side. I mean, if you're going around handing a penny out to every person you see, like pumping your chest about how good of a job you're doing, is that really making you a good person going around?
Right. Where's the generosity then?
Yeah, I mean,
but the Rambam's thought is that you're always actually, like you're constantly changing your, like you're obligating, you're focusing your mental virtue on doing something.
I guess it depends on like on your mindset when you're doing it, I guess.
Right. I want to say one more thing on this. In a Sefer Chasidim, he actually quotes this pasuk in Koheles, Tov Mole Kaf Nachas Mimale Chaf Nayim Amal Urus Ruach. Right, better to have a handful of good nachas than a lot of handfuls of vanity, right, or emptiness. Right, so that speaks to the, you want to have the impact on the aniyim. But he does say, notice in his second comment, right, that's the rationale why you don't want to leave people chaser. Aval, right, I guess if you have a lot of...
If everyone else is just eating a little bit to everyone, then if you do that also, then eventually everyone will reach it up to 3 months.
Now, it's actually not clear why he thinks this is better. Maybe he's agreeing with the Rambam that there is a virtue ethics component. Like, sorry, why would he think that it's... Why would he say this? Like, all things considered, why not just each person focus on lifting one onion out of poverty?
Yeah, but he's saying that's true. But if the system is already that everyone gives a little bit to everyone, then for you to lift 1% out of poverty would require much less.
Much less what?
Much less what? Because I mean, he's already been supported by 15 other people with like a little bit of money. Like top them off.
Right, but is he saying that all things considered, it's better to, for everybody to give a little than for...
Yeah, he's saying that if the system is already that everyone else is giving a little, we should be the only one that supports a single one.
So just the way, if this fact is true about antecedent me, about how tzedakah is given, you shouldn't upset that pattern of giving.
That's what it seems like.
All right, interesting. See, I was thinking maybe this is actually so that no ani is dependent on any individual person.
Yes, the
house time is. He does? Opposite the Chino. Well? Is it an
Alachipedia? Here's a mashal of like,
everyone
has to have their own like kerosene lamp, and then we got an electric generator, and we're plugged in, that generator right now, and everyone lost out. So don't give all your money just to the Jewish Federation.
Interesting. Yeah. Ned, you have a comment on this Sefer Chasidim?
If everyone is giving only in small amounts to everybody, that means nobody is giving to any, like, no one ani is now, there's no guarantee that any single ani is going to receive the machsara. So you have to increment it up societally.
Yeah, I think the Sefer Chasidim is just assuming that if everybody gives a little bit, that's going to raise these people out of the machsara. You disagree with that, Ned?
No, I think it's counter to the first statement.
Let's see. What's counter to the first statement?
I don't think he's operating in terms of... I think people are just giving, like the Rama would say to give.
What do you mean?
They're just giving, like, one prut at a time.
So what do you think? What do you think the Sefer Chasidim holds?
I mean, I think he holds ideally you should be giving... If it was a blank slate and you could set up how people give tzedakah, he would say give to the people so that you would fulfill their needs to the best of your ability. But the second half here seems to imply that it's much more, if the society is already set up in such a way that it's more incremental, then you have to make sure that the best way to ensure that people get that which they need is by having everybody give incrementally.
Oh, got it. It's just an efficiency type argument.
I mean, yeah.
If this is how the distribution is going, then the best way to meet that distributional need is everybody to contribute a little bit. Yeah. I hear this. He's not saying anything deep here. Good. I want to raise one more comment here. Josh, you have a hand on this?
I was just going to say, maybe from the back, Adam, it's like everybody, but he says about feel any of the finest kinds of stuff, yes, et cetera. Meaning that connected with the line before it seems to be more of a first ethics type thing.
Maybe. If these are connected, I could just,
Now it's less likely to be connected.
Right, I just added an answer. I would think they're, because he has a few different DNA he throws in here. Yeah, so. But I want to draw your attention to this. I'm going to make a big deal about it in 5 minutes. But notice this line. Benji, why don't you read it for us? The Tzar Kol Echad. I don't know what that is. I'd love to know what that word is.
Laharos.
Yeah, so this is really a very intriguing statement by Sefer Chassidim. What does he mean?
Saying that we're like...
Well, start with this first opening salvo.
So all of our kovod are b'shuva v'kashrut. So God like owns all of our actions.
Well, tzarech kol echad hein asher hein ani l'fi kocho.
Everyone
ought to be subservient to God, right? How do you express your subservience to Hashem? How are you laharo shehu eved lamakom? How do you show that? By giving a pruta a week or pruta and a half a week in a consistent way, that's how you show that you're meshubad lakodesh baruch hu, kifi kocho, laharo shu eved lamo.
This is your kaparot nafsho.
Yeah.
This is like how you redeem yourself from servitude.
This is how you redeem yourself. This is how you get kapara.
Or like faith.
Yeah. Atonement. So I want to say two things here. Number one, what's number one? Kobe, what's number one? So tell us number two then. And tell us number one. What two things you take out of this, Benji?
It's the getting from the peak. Yeah, the completion of
Okay, yeah, so notice that there has been Adam Lamakom here. Yeah. Right, Kaparas Napsha, that's fine. That's consistent with the Gemara itself. Rabbi Akiva and Tornis Rafos, that why is not Hashem do it? Sounds like Oshawiki gets Chuyos. So there's a stickle.
It's that right to be like a reflection of your servitude to God.
Oh, hold off on that for a second. Hold off on that for a second, actually. That's the second point. My offer is to do the second point first, only for Kobe. The first point is that I think that there's an element of kapara here. Right, so it's not about the uneven, it's not about the recipient, it's about the giver getting some schus. So this fits in with the theme of today about the giver-based dimension. But the second theme I want to emphasize is what Romy has been pushing for the last few weeks, last few shiurim about.
That all money is owned by God, and you show that by every week, giving away some of the money.
Exactly. Romy was very into this shows that the money, sukkah is about the money never being yours, that maybe in all mitzvahs the money is never yours, right? So I think the second theme in the Sefer Chassidim taps into that notion that by giving away the money that you have to tzedakah, you're showing that you're an eved Hashem. It's not as strongly formulated here, but he thinks that by giving away, we'll see formulation of this later on, by giving away, you're kind of expressing your shibud in some sense.
I've been wondering, like, last few minutes, like, why tzedakah, like, in all of this, why tzedakah is different than any other binyan l'chavera. I mean, that would be a good explanation why. I mean, why don't we say the same things about, like, bikur chol? Why don't you just say hi, like, you know, instead of actually doing anything? But if you say that tzedakah is specifically a theme and showing that God owns your money, then that is not as good as from other mitzvah.
Yeah, I hear that. Right, you're expressing the shibud, the money is not yours every time you give it away.
Are the things we've been saying with virtue ethics, is that specific with tzedakah, or would you say the same thing by Bikur Chol and then by...
We'd have to see what the Rambam says there. Okay, does everybody see that? So this is all expressing... the main thing I want to take away from this section is, number one, the Rambam's first formulation, that when you emphasize the virtues of the giver, it gets this, you want to maximize the actions. But we saw that's not necessarily the best reading in the second half of the Rambam. The Maharal has some objections to it, and Sefer Chassidim explicitly has an objection to that idea. Better to raise people out of poverty than to do a lot of actions. And that's consistent with the Rambam's second formulation when he talks about the Sefer Chassidim. Okay? I want to move us now to a third, and just also take away this idea from Sefer Chassidim about when you give tzedakah, you're showing that you're meshubad to to Hashem, which is a Bein Adam L'Makom type explanation. It's not about helping Ani. By now, I want to turn us to a third major halacha that speaks to the chiyuv of the giver, and that is the chiyuv of an Ani to give tzedakah, where you'll say, look, from the perspective of the recipient, it's self-defeating to require an Ani to give away the money that he receives as tzedakah. We agree on that? But if you think there's some value, let's say, like Sefer Hasidim just said, to get kapara, show that you're meshubah to Hashem, or in the Rambam sense of exercising your beneficence virtues, then it's sensible that even an Ani would have this responsibility. Correct? So let's look at this to Sefta Peah Perek Dalet Alef Yud. Josh, Ani?
Ani Shnas HaPrita L'Kupa of Uprusa?
Yeah, Uprusa.
Oh, yeah,
piece of bread.
Oh, it's not good. I'm coming out to the menu. We can vote out on any of the items. So if the poor person wants to get tzedakah, we'll let him, but we're not going to force him to.
Yeah, so this sounds like an Ani has no chiyuv tzedakah, right? If he wants to give, great. If not, we're not going to obligate him to. So that makes sense with tzedakah being about the recipient's needs. And Ani is exempt from giving tzedakah because he himself has needs. But then you have Gemara Gittin Zayin Amud Beis. Maybe we'll get here next year if we start from the beginning. what does the Gemara say here, Josh? Amar Zutra.
Even if he himself is being supported by tzedakah, he still has to give.
Oh, good. So, yeah. So Amar Zutra seems to hold that an Ani has a chiyuv tzedakah, even if he's misparnes min tzedakah. Now you might say that's a silly. What do you think it's silly?
No.
Why not?
What are we going to do if it's
We're going to support him just so he can support others?
You say that it's about having society where everyone.
He's not. Zacharia supports me, and I give the money that Zacharia gave me to Josh.
Wow.
Let's say I give all the money.
How do I do that?
Because I need to be supported, right? So all the money I get comes from Zakaria, and then all the money Josh gets comes from me. Just seems like a needless redistribution, no? Now I'm going to be need to, now I need to be supported from other people. Right? So the Aruch HaShulchan is very cranky about this. Aruch HaShulchan and Simen Reish Memches and Yeridah. Oh, Yitzi have a hand?
Yeah, I think that, like, from a practical perspective, it's impossible to know what someone else needs. But if you're the Ani yourself, you know how much you can give away. So, you know, that could be the point to it.
Yeah, so you're saying a guy could get $100 in tzedakah and he'll give away $2.
Right.
So it's not just a full redistribution.
Yeah, because as the Ani knows how much they need, but you know, as the giver, it's impossible to know how much they really need. So we can have everyone gets only exactly what they need from tzedakah.
Yeah, that's fair enough. You could say that. That would be a way of like limiting the Ani and misparnes from tzedakah. The force of that issue, but you still might say it's strange to have Zacharia give to me and then I give to Josh. Just have Zacharia give half of that to me and half of it to Josh, right?
Zacharia wouldn't know how much you need. Zacharia is just giving because he's a nice guy who wants to give tzedakah.
You're saying this solves the knowledge. It solves the knowledge problem.
Yeah.
So it's a more efficient way of calibrating the machsoru.
Exactly. Yeah.
You could look at it that way. We'll look at the Aruch HaShulchan now, he thinks of it.
You said that it's not like a binary. There are people that are not yet the machsoru and lose enough access, and lose enough access have claims on that. So the saying not to say anyone that an Ani has a claim on the property of anyone who is in a better place than they are.
And then there are tiers of Aniyas.
Right, so there's one Ani that doesn't know anyone that they think, but all the other.
The poorest Ani is not Chayav.
The poorest Ani is cousin, but everyone else.
Right, literally the least advantaged guy in society.
Right. Right.
To that, I would just say, and this is what the Aruch HaShulchan is going to complain, and this is a response to Yitzi also, that, well, then the Ani should not have taken from, when Zacharia gave me tzedakah, I should not have taken more than I need. So if I know what Dei Machsori is, I shouldn't take it from Zacharia and then give it to Josh. I just shouldn't have taken that extra penny from
him. You're still not
But if I'm not a Dei Machsoru, then I shouldn't be giving it away to somebody else. I'm going to become an Ani.
But Josh is Right. You don't have money for the bus. Josh was
right. That, so that gets back to this point about the tiers of DMF. Sorry, you're saying.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, I hear that. And then
Josh has a claim on you, even though you walk to work. Josh, who lives in a cardboard box,
right.
You can still say, are you going to
be? But maybe even the least advantaged person, it's De Machsoro, in that he's not able to in this other stock.
The least advantaged person.
No, I'm just kidding. I guess
it's. And these things trickle down economics, like you give yourself a person for you.
Right, you get the person for you.
I know.
So let's look at the Arachas Shulchan. That's what he said. Amru Chazal. This is Reif from Chazal. Amru Chazal. Afil Ani Misparnis Menat Staka Chayav Litim Staka V'chule. He says the tour on the Shulchan Aruch quote this. And he says, V'yesh Bazesh She'ela. Harei HaTur Ba'atzmo Pasav Shmo Shol Psadjagon De'eno Chayav Litim Staka Ad She'elo Parnasa V'chei Achicha Imach Chayach HaKodmin L'chayei Achicha. So the tour himself quotes this idea that an ani who's misparnes menat staka, who doesn't have parnasaso, is pater, because chayach hakodmin. It's irresponsible and it's morally self-defeating to give away money that you need for yourself. Okay? Another Rama quotes that. So he thinks you can hold both of these. You can hold marzutra, that an ani has a chayach staka, and hold what the tour quotes from Sajagon, that an ani is not allowed to give away what he needs for his parnasa. Okay. There's a steer in holding both of those. He points out the Shulchan Aruch doesn't quote the Reb Sajagon. Maybe that's why the Shulchan Aruch says you should give it away, meaning the Shulchan Aruch maybe holds, even though you need it for your parnasa, you still have a chiyuv staka. My computer was De Machsoro for charging. And then he gives a few answers, though, in Sif Beis and Reish Amchas. So here's the first stab that he tries to get a different answer. Here's answer number one. Maybe the only Ani who has a Chiyuv to give Staka is Zacharya. Oh, so maybe only an ani who has parnasa is chayav to give staka. He doesn't like that. Why? Right. What the heck? If he has parnasa, why is he snoring?
That's
the Shach's answer that he's quoting. So maybe we say someone has less than 200 tzuz. We'll talk about this when we get into the sugya of the shiurim, that he's a rash of the kavod stock. And he says, the dvarim temuim him. That doesn't make any sense. So his point is like, look, it's just obvious that someone who has parnasa, you know, they're not entitled to receive staka, and all those shiurim are just shiurim in defining somebody who has parnasa. So don't tell me that there's having less than masayim zuz as a distinct shiur from not having your parnasa. See that? So then we're back to our problem: how do you have an ani who's entitled to receive staka but still obligated to give? Right? Aval kasheyesh lo parnasa mi hitir lo lekabel staka. Which I think is a good point. So look what he answers. Yes, Daidi.
So what kind of stuff is he exempt from? The consistent or miser kind of stuff.
Look, they're really tzvei dinim in staka. There's a din of just being yotzei zayin the mitzvah, give something symbolically once a year, shlish hashekel. That's like a once a year obligation to satisfy some objective chiyuv staka. And that, even an ani is chayav to give. But the idea of giving maaser, the idea of giving on a constant basis to fulfill the needs of aniyim, that Adani is pater from. So what he's saying is there are two types of tzedakah, two dinim, one symbolic, give something away once a year, contribute in some way, but what I'll call the real mitzvah tzedakah of satisfying the needs of the aniyim in a chanami, he's not obligated in that because it would be self-defeating, right? So I think this makes this clearly suggests to me that there are two chiyuvim in tzedakah, mitzad the ani, mitzad the needs of the ani, and ani himself is not obligated to give. Because there you've undercut the whole purpose of tzedakah, self-defeating. But mitzad the chiyuv the nosein, whatever that is, you want him to get kapara, you want him to exercise the virtue of generosity once a year, that ani is chayiv. Good? Josh?
Isn't it strange to say that someone has a prenasa can't accept tzedakah? Like, what do we mean when we say that someone has a prenasa? If he has a job, he's not making enough money. Well, I don't understand.
Prenasa doesn't mean a job. I think prenasa here means enough to satisfy his needs. Yeah. Remember we saw in the Rabban and Labayin and Tirusa discussion, a distinction between like a somebody who's like Osek, is he Osek Lefarnasa or Osek Lahashir?
Right.
They distinguish between just like satisfying your basic needs. So I think it's like somebody whose income is less than his reasonable expenses. Yeah. That's a very important distinction we're going to come back to, this notion of like Parnasa. We're going to see a crazy Chassam Sofer who says any money you have over Parnasa, you're obligated to give to tzedakah if there are needs of the enemy. It's like what you're entitled to have is the amount you need for your Parnasa, not Lahashir. So when your friends start working to make a lot of money and they say it's for parnasa, you say, no, it's not for parnasa. It's lahashir. It's a very distinct halachic category. Well, no, you could object. What's the matter, Scar?
No, it's the same that any money above parnasa, 100% of that is required to be given.
Yeah, if the aniyim need.
What?
Yeah, if the aniyim need. If there are tzorach aniyim, you're not entitled. Yeah. Make your din. We'll get there. It's like a Peter Singer type view. I don't know if you guys.
Yeah.
Meaning, if your money could be, you have Parnassa and they don't have Parnassa, your money's doing better work for them than it is for you. Right? It's kind of intuitive once you, but we'll get to that. We'll get to that some sober. Great. Now, so I wanted to bring to your attention the Shulchan Aruch in your day, Resh Nun Aleph Sif Yud Beis. Here is our Inyana de Yoma, Shavua Shechal Bo Purim. Hobi, if nothing else gets you excited, at least this should get you excited. What do we have here in the Shulchan Aruch? Shnei Aniyim. They could swap tzedakah with each other. So just notice, by the way, the antecedent, shnaniyim, shechayavim litain tzedakah, just presupposing these are niyim who are obligated to give tzedakah already. It's not really clear what that is. And you'll say, what are they just swapping money with each other? That clearly has no consequential result. I give you $5, then you give me $5. That's like what, there's no net gain. So it's impossible to explain in terms of the tzorach aniyim, machsorim shel aniyim, tikun aniyim perspective of tzedakah. You have to assume in this case that there's just some virtue of being a nosein tzedakah. I don't even see how this facilitates the virtue of giving. Maybe it does, just like the psychology of giving to somebody else.
It's a little trust.
Yeah, I guess trust and somebody will get it back, or I guess it reflects an attitude of willingness to give, or you know, it's like they say, you know, sometimes like shushvinus for a wedding. It's like when you write a check for someone's wedding, like halakhically you're entitled to sue to get it back when you get married. You know, but there's still an element of kavod and giving it the first time. You know, so something similar here. And look at the Beis Hillel. What are we told? What's the mocker for this, right? Where does he get this idea from? Or a chayim, tafres tadi hei. What's tafres tadi hei? He'll just pour him. So he thinks the mocker is like from a shalach manos type of halacha where you could swap with each other. In shalach manos, it seems very clear that the goal is not to give the guy food per se. Maybe it is. It's like Ishul Reyu. It seems like it facilitates good, friendly relationships. No, am I wrong about that?
I mean, I thought that there was like a classic hero.
It's for the Suda.
Yeah, that's true.
I spoke too quickly.
Also, no, it's not, I mean, the halacha, I don't know if it's true, but the halacha is not for Mount Nebuchadnezzar. It's no wonder if that's, don't speak the spot for.
Yeah, for Matanos Levionim.
Yeah,
well, yeah, for like the Purim, Kiyam Matanos Levionim. Correct. But again, this doesn't make sense from a consequential point of view of the Tzedakah. It's to satisfy the needs of the Aniyim, because you're, correct? We agree on that? Ned, do you agree?
Yeah, I think there's a three-day age that talks about Mishloach Manot being in terms of like creating fraternity, brotherhood, feelings.
Yeah, yeah. It makes Isla Reyu, that makes sense, right? Yeah. Let me just flag that here. I'm not sure if we're going to get a chance to come back to this, but remember we saw the Gemara in our sugya about the Chatzer, the Tzakas Aniyim? Remember that? The idea that Eliyahu stopped coming to visit that Chassid because he built a Delest such that he can no longer hear the cries of the Aniyim? Now you might wonder whether part of the mitzvah of tzedakah is to break down some of the barriers between the ani and the ashir. It doesn't work out well in a classic case of tzedakah, because the best tzedakah is to give it to the gabbai and the gabbai gives it to the aniyim. But you might say something like this about being machlif money. That's between two aniyim. It's not a great example either. But just think, we can think of the connection to Matanos, of Mishloach Manos. Okay? I have a theory about this as it pertains to like a Chifan Peah. Because the Ani comes to the Sada of the Ashir. So there it sounds like part of the institution is so that there's no clear, like they come into the field and that's where Rus ends up meeting Boaz. Where else would she? Boaz is like a big deal. Ishki bor chayo. And like Rus is like this poor woman who comes from like destitute. But they end up like meeting through like the system of Peah. Just interesting to think about that in relation to the Gemara about like you don't want the wall and the chatzer to keep the aniyim away. That's about the division of social classes. Maybe it's related to the to this connection. But I'll call upon him. What I want to take out of the Shulchan Aruch is just that there's got to be a second din if Reishon and Aleph Yud Beis make sense, right? Yeah. Yeah, the Aniyim swapping. It only makes sense if it's Mitzad and Nosein in some sense. Okay, I want to make one last point for today. Good. And that is to another Makar that speaks to the Chiyuv Mitzad HaNosein as distinct from the needs of the Ani. So we get that again on Bar Basra Daf Yud Amud Aleph, right? Bar Basra Daf Yud Amud Aleph. We get this drasha of Rav Dustai for Rabbi Yanai, who wants to take us through it. Shmuel, you get a chance to prepare Daf Yud Amud Aleph? Not yet. Kobe, did you get to Yud Amud Aleph yet? No?
Yeah.
So go for it. Bore.
Bore Shalok Pierce Fresh Bob, who can ask us with Dub, Yet was Dub, Father, maybe, Togo, Battle of Mela, something that happened to them, and be able to take some income from the community, one accepted, maybe King Zoom and Power to the Daniel. Something go up, may not, Sabeo, may not, maybe we'll see a king if you want.
Yeah, you bribe off Trump, Suffolk will accept the bribe, Suffolk, you won't accept the bribe, and even if he accepts the bribe, Suffolk will actually deliver for you. No? You pay a lobbyist. Doesn't always work. HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ezbe'a, with a sin, because I'll be satisfied. So what does that mean? Adam knows in Pritala, Ani Zocha Mikal Paneshkina, Ani Bitzadek Echaze Panecha.
I righteousness.
Yeah, well, through giving staka, you'll get to encounter Hashem, right? Now, that's clearly been Adam Makom type thing. And we were even told, Reb Elazar, right? That's why we have this minhag Blazar to always give tzedakah before davening, because that brings you to Hashem, right? Ram paskin is amanus aniim dolech chachamim veinos tempu the money kodem kol tefila v'yachach mispalim. Yes. So that what? Oh, Shulchan Aruch quotes in both places. You look here, the Shulchan Aruch in Yerideah quotes it in Reish Mem Tes. That's Silvas Tzedakah. Zechariah, read it. Tovli temputa. Yeah.
And our client totally
gets Simon Sadi Bates with Shochas Fila. Tov. So you actually get two dinim, right? One's like, this almost sounds like it's just a Hilchas Tfila din, right? It's good for you to start off Tfila with a little tzedakah. So that clearly emphasizes the mitzvah I'm saying. And I just wanted to emphasize this really interesting view about it here. Some people have a minhag, the Mishnah Berurah quotes this. Here. So read this Mishnah Berurah in Sifkata and La Midvav. Zechariah of Eza Kilos.
Eza Kilos. Don't worry about that.
So why do you give tzedakah at V'Osher V'Akavad Mufanecha V'Ata Moshe V'Akol? Oh, this gets back to the Romi points, right? What?
Like,
empty chair, yeah. It's like the Kisei Shel Yo, we have the Kisei Shel Romi. This gets back to the Romi point that part of tzedakah is to recognize, right, that the stuff belongs to Hashem. So that's why, V'Ata Moshe V'Akol, V'Osher V'Akavad Mufanecha. So this really comes from the Prima Gadim. He says like this. Uchshenosnen pruta b'moshel bakol tovi yafehu. This is in Simen Tzadi Bez. Then he says something very peculiar. Yeah. The Ani really knows that everything's Hashem because he's Matriach. He knows that Hashem is in charge because here he's working so hard he doesn't get anything. So clearly, there's no causal relationship between how much work you do and how much you get out of your work. It's a good perspective, right? Mashen came. Yeah. So it's not clear to me why he thinks therefore the Ani has more of a reason to give Elisha Rechon Fanecha.
He really wants to inspire like piety. Teach in the business school, you teach like how to fail.
Right. But the interesting thing that I want to just tap into here is that they suggest, Prima Gadim suggests giving up Boshua Kong Funach because part of tzedakah is just to recognize that the mammon is not really yours in the first place. That's why it's Boshua Kong Funach, after Moshe Bakal, right? Which is the tour and Romy's idea fits in nicely with that. Correct? Notice Prima Gadim was from Lvov, Lemberg, Western Ukraine. You always hear Lvov in the news. A lot of, you know, last time it was called Lemberg by a lot of the Rishonim, but very big city. And I just thought this is very consistent with what we saw in the Sefer Hasidim, Simen Samach Aleph, that part of giving tzedakah is to show that you're Meshubat Hashem. Right, that the money is not really yours. That fits nicely with this minhag of giving it Moshe Bakal and Mufanecha Bata Moshe Bakal. Okay, so what we saw today is just several examples of the other side of tzedakah, the Chiyav Anosein. And again, I don't think that's inconsistent with our perspective. It just shows that there's a second din along with it. Or that even if there's really one din, the mechanism through carrying out the din carries with it certain Ben Adam Lechavim virtues, Kiyumim, as well, in addition to the Machzorim Shal Aniyim. So you could either say there are two dinim, or you could say there's really one din of Machzorim Shal Aniyim, but the means through which we take care of the Machzorim Shal Aniyim also carries with it the benefits for us, which is just one way of understanding Rekiva's response. Right? Great. Great. So what we're going to do in the next Urim is we're going to go straight into page 42 about Mizonos, Ksus, and the shear for Tzedaka. So there's a lot of interesting Makoros on the shear, how much you're supposed to give. We'll see Meiser, where does Meiser come from? De Machsoro, and Mevazbez, Ali Vazbez, Yosef, Miklomash, where order all these shear. Okay. Well, after this year, lunch on Tuesday. Ned, Yitzi, Shkayev. See you all on Tuesday, Rosh Hashanah.
We'll see you later this evening, probably.
Oh, yeah, see you at the wedding. That's right.